critically analyzing global affairs. This is the Hervoy Moritz Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. Greetings to everyone. Quick news roundup. Jim Rickards, if you don't know him, he's a best-selling author, important guy, analyst. He tweeted a New York Times article that says, Asia is buying discounted Russian oil, making up for Europe's cutbacks. The Chinese and the Indians are buying Russian energy like crazy. And Jim comments, quote, Russia is making more money than ever selling oil to Asia instead of Europe. This is exactly the result many of us predicted when Biden's sanctions began. Europe will now go into recession while preparing to freeze in the dark this winter. Nice job, Joe, end quote. I mean, you think about that. They can't be this stupid. They know what they're doing, and it goes back. You just take a step back and look at things objectively. It seems like the intent never was to hurt Russia. It was to hurt Europe. So the European politicians and Americans' goal was to impoverish Europe, and that definitely seems great. That's part of the Great Reset. Wipe out the middle class, only have neo-feudalism, the rich and the poor, and that's what they're doing now to Europe. Meanwhile, we had the actor Zelensky. He addressed the African Union yesterday in a virtual session, but only, four of the 55 African heads of state attended the virtual session. And Fiorella Isabel, my past TNT guest and her partner, will be on today. She tweeted, I love the solidarity against Western hegemony coming from Latin America and the African continent. It's really a historic time. And I missed this clip from a few days ago, but Nancy Pelosi, this was at the Summit of the Americas. Someone brought up Juan Guaido, and it's literally a total clown show. She so obviously pretends she doesn't know who he is and just quickly switches the subject and says, oh, well, who is here is President Biden. Just like the worst acting in the world. And it just goes to show they use you and then they dispose of you when they don't need you anymore. We've got Press Secretary John Kirby saying President Putin is weaponizing food. Sure, Johnny boy there. And we've got an article out of Canada talking about the food costs and talking to Canadians. And one Canadian was saying how they have effectively doubled their spending for food now. So basically what they're shopping for is double. And where is the food policy expert has bad news for families such as these. He says, I hate to say this, but the worst is yet to come. A shortage of grain caused by the war in Ukraine, along with lingering supply chain problems, kicked off a cycle of increasing food prices in February. So, yep, food prices are increasing. And as if we really needed this, I mean, it's a great show, but Netflix has reportedly ordered another season of Black Mirror. The anthology series has explored the fringes of sci-fi and horror in a myriad of dystopian future scenarios, some of which struck eerily close to home for many viewers. We're literally living in Black Mirror. It's like when people ask me, oh, have I seen Narcos, the Netflix show? I stopped subscribing my money to Netflix like before it was cool, but many years ago, like literally 5 years ago. But I'm like, I don't have to watch Narcos. I live the movie and it's the show. And it's like same thing with Black Mirror. I don't need to watch Black Mirror. Literally today I was leaving my gated community and I saw a new sign that said, on foot I was leaving and to get something, buy something. And there's a sign that said, oh, the security will no longer let you in only if you have your physical access key or your biometric thumbprint. Talk about Black Mirror. So now I can't get back into my gated community only with my physical key. And if I lose it, my biometric thumbprint, which is the first time I've ever seen this. And who's guarding the data of my biometric thumbprint? Some private Mexican security company. I don't think I would trust them. So talk about Black Mirror. We'll be right back with our guest on TNT Radio.
Stay in the loop all day.
And the only radio station that helps me through a long day.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, it's the Hrvoje Moric Show. Good morning, afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Antarctica, Mars, Europe, the Americas, Africa, Middle East, Asia, wherever you're listening from. Don't forget to download the smartphone app and subscribe to our Rumble channel, the TNT Radio Rumble channel, YouTube, and Odyssey, where we are also streaming live. I'm joined by my weekly regular guest, James Guzman, who's an American-born writer and insurance broker specializing in non-conventional markets and countries. He's the founder of the Borderless blog and podcast, which you can find at borderless.com. And if you need health insurance, you can go to borderlesshealthinsurance.com. What's happening, James?
Hey, Hrvoje, doing well. Everything's doing great. And how about you? You living in the Black Mirror, as you were talking before?
Dude, that's crazy. Like today I went to get some bread and there's a new sign. It says you cannot enter. Like even if the security knows you, supposedly, I don't know. I haven't tested it out yet. Maybe he'd let me in, but it's like they won't let you in. They won't open the access gate. You have to use basically your physical key or your thumbprint, which is
I was in one of those neighborhoods a few weeks ago in León, and it was very similar. You know, you got a bunch of security guards at the gate. I ordered some food from Uber Eats or something. I forget what it was. And I had to go pick it up. I couldn't like leave. They had a face scanner, and like I couldn't leave to get the food. And I had to get the guy to like pass me the food over the gate. You know, like I couldn't leave and come back. And it was just like, yeah, it was kind of weird like that, man. A lot of these security companies, they're like jumping on board with all the different technologies, and they just kind of automatically implement it, you know?
But, you know, the crazy thing is, oh boy, I was literally predicting this. Like I had a great interview today. I was interviewed by Mark from Lions of Liberty and talking a bit about this, and he'll be on TNT show next week, I think. But like, I was thinking about this like in 2020 with the whole lockdown. And, you know, they were doing the vaccine certificates in town, and all of these protocols. And I'm thinking, well, you know, in many of these gated communities in Mexico, like what if the administration and the community decides to implement vaccine certificates for the gated community? And I wouldn't be able to enter into my own home. I mean, I don't think it's that far-fetched of an idea, but I was thinking along the lines of what I just saw today, this biometric access now. And it's a real concern because many companies are corrupt in Mexico, including these security companies and the administration of these communities, because we've gone through one or two administrations, you know, these businesses that take care of all the things, the needs of the gated community, you pay them. They ran off with our money like once or twice. So I'm supposed to trust them with my biometric thumbprint. So, and then imagine how they could misuse that, right? You use that to access different, you know, banking apps, cell phones, blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is a real concern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, a funny story about that. When they were doing a lot of the face mask stuff and all that in 2020 and a lot of the mandates or whatever, you know, I still all throughout the, you know, those, even through those years, 2020, 2021, I mean, it didn't really affect me much. Cause I didn't have to go into any big box stores or any of the places that they were really, making you do that kind of stuff. But there was a community here that's a pretty well-run private gated community. And so I went in there and, well, you know, I thought, like you said, you know, well, it's private. Maybe this would be better. But the government actually told them that they had to follow whatever dictate that they had made up, the government made up. And so in a perverse way, the private security company, when I tried to drive in, they were telling me I had to wear a mask in my car by myself. And so things like that. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, it's kind of, you know, that is fascism, right? That the private companies do a better job of administering the dictates of the government. So the government doesn't even have to do it. They just you know, put the onus on the private companies to do their bidding. And yeah, but everywhere else they still had this supposed thing, but nobody was following it because the government can't, you know, can't implement that on everybody. So I thought that was kind of an interesting study and how that kind of thing unfolds.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's fascism. That's where we at, where we're at. There was a meme I just found before connecting of what do you call it when you stand someone against the firing squad and the person getting shot says free speech, and then there's like six soldiers and you've got the icons of big tech, you know, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Google, censorship, right? Killing free speech. But the guard that's standing to the side giving the order to kill free speech, giving the order to these private companies, there's the symbol of the White House. So it's the American government, the government telling the private companies what to do. That is, yeah, that's fascism. And an article that I saw today in Mexico, completely ridiculous. It goes along with the trend, what we've been talking about, how they're calling for citizens to turn in their firearms. I guess they're referring to illegal arms, but the title says, exchange your revolver for a microwave. Awesome. Great. I gave away my gun and I got a microwave. I didn't even have a microwave. I stopped using microwaves like decades ago. It's crazy. Like, but it says in exchange for your firearm, you can get, you know, like what do you call it? The food mixer, a coffee machine, a juicer, a microwave. Are you kidding me? So, but this continues this trend that we're seeing in the West, from Canada to Chile to the US, and here now in Mexico, where, you know, here in Mexico, it's like no questions asked. If you turn in, I guess, an unregistered firearm, they'll take it. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm sure that's going to work. I'm sure the narcos are going to go and turn their guns right in, get some nice microwaves. That'll be effective.
But I can't imagine the citizen, though. I mean, you're just... Nobody's
going to do that.
I mean, maybe there are a few people, but it will just further create, I think, a worse security situation, because good people are being disarmed while the criminals, they can do whatever they like. So it's just, it's worsening an already bad situation.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody would do that, that gun is going to be so old, doesn't even matter. Can you imagine how old the gun and useless that gun had to be for someone to trade it for a microwave? I mean,
there might be some decent guns. I'm sure there's plenty of decent illegal guns. Yeah.
If anybody wants to give me their gun for a microwave, I'll do it. I'll give you two microwaves.
I will do the reverse trade. What are some other things on your radar in the Western Hemisphere and Americas you've been looking at?
Well, definitely the biggest thing has been this election in Colombia, right? So finally, I think we've mentioned it a few times over the last few weeks. This has been kind of boiling up. There was three people in the race, and then finally there was only two. The quote-unquote right-wing candidate was taken out in the beginning, and so there was only what they were claiming to be a center-right populist and a far left-winger. This is how people were putting it in the media. And the left-wing guy, Petro, is the one that won. So there's been a lot of controversy around that, about, you know, how left is this guy? You know, see... Against, is he going to have the American government coming down on him and all this type of stuff? And who, What is he actually going to do? So, you know, this is, we've had all kinds of people giving their takes and, you know, voicing their opinions on what's going on. In the United States, there's been a few politicians that have spoken out. Probably the one that was most boisterous was DeSantis of Florida. And he said it was a well, here's exactly what he said. He said to elect a former narco terrorist and a Marxist to lead Colombia is going to be disastrous. We stood with the people here in Florida that have ties to Colombia. We've had a great relationship with Colombia as a state. We were all hoping that the outcome would be different, but we have got a problem in the Western Hemisphere with Marxism and totalitarianism really spreading. And he said, although you would think that communism lost the Cold War, it is still rearing its head. And also Marco Rubio said, the only change far left leaders bring is poverty and suffering. So pray for Colombia and hope for the best. Okay. So those were two, you know, Republican people speaking out about this. And other than that, I mean, I know that just, you know, Biden just did the regular kind of congratulatory thing. And then Blinken, I thought it was kind of interesting. Let me see, I pull up this tweet that I found. So I was going to read this tweet that Blinken, let's see, let me just pull this up real quick. That he sent directly to Petro, who was the winner. He said, congratulations to the Colombian people for exercising their right to vote and reaffirming the strength of their democracy. We look forward to continuing our strong partnership with President-elect Petro Gustavo and building a more democratic, equitable hemisphere. So, you know, a lot of people that were saying, you know, a lot of people on Twitter and stuff were like, oh, what is the CIA going to invade? You know, I'm sure the United States is going to come and try to bring democracy to them now. I mean, if you read this, we look forward to continuing our strong partnership. Sounds like they know each other. They've been working with each other and they're perfectly fine with this guy. So, I mean, I think a lot of people are hung up on kind of this Cold War mentality of, you know, the right wing and left wing and that, oh, this is a quote unquote left winger and that, you know, the CIA is going to come overturning them, you know, stuff like, I just don't think that people understand what's really going on with, you know, with, I guess you could call globalism in general, that they're perfectly comfortable with people that, you know, this Petro guy, he ran in on, you know, some of the most of the things that he was talking about was, you know, climate change and green energy. And, you know, he's going to have the first, black female single mother vice president, which he has, and things like that. I mean, this is all, you know, the new face of neoliberalism. So people need to smarten up and, you know, stop thinking that they're playing checkers from 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, that last analogy is great. And I also wanted to mention, you've seen this, but, well, first of all, Gustavo Petro, right? Someone posted an image of his, I think it's a number of years old, 7 or 8 years old, but there's a picture of him with Bill Clinton. He's driving the car and Bill Clinton is right next to him. So that's very, you know, telling. And I found actually a listener of mine posted in my Telegram a huge quote from this guy called, he's a professor in Brazil, Felipe Quintas. And it's funny because Felipe Quintas just gave a talk this weekend at the Schiller Institute. And last week I had on Daniel Burke of the Schiller Institute. And I had thought of inviting Felipe on, but then I looked at his speech and apparently it was in Portuguese, but that's a signal for me. Maybe he doesn't speak good English if he couldn't have given that speech in English. But nonetheless, I want to take a moment to read what he said, which he really nails it. He says, quote, well, first of all, he said on the election, he said, Colombia elected its Boric Zelensky, another puppet of Washington and the World Economic Forum, to carry out the Great Reset. It is the new environmentalist and identity left, which has exchanged full employment and social welfare for welfare quotas and insect feed. And then he subsequently went on to post on Facebook, in a world that is increasingly close to the U.S., They seek to strengthen their influence over Latin America and Western Europe, the areas of influence they have left. If in the past the U.S. power elite used neoconservative liberalism as a vector of its interests in other countries, today it uses postmodern progressivism formulated by the transnational financial system and elevated to the official U.S. ideology, being defended by all its direct and indirect organs of power. Boric, Gustavo Petro, Macron, the German Scholz are some of its main representatives today, not to mention Biden, who serves as Pope. Keywords, as you had mentioned, keywords such as climate change, decarbonization, Green New Deal, Black Lives Matter, recognition of indigenous nations and reproductive rights, and LGBTQIAP+ are today the ideological core of U.S. imperialism and the Davos-centered speculative system. They're aimed not only at affirming governments and policies favorable to the Great Reset agenda, but also at opposing countries and civilizational blocs that do not bend to their purposes. Considered fascist as a whole, from Marxist-Leninist Confucian China to Islamic Iran, from Putin's social conservatism to AMLO's old-fashioned social democratic reformism. So I think he really nails it on the head. And with that, we'll go to our first tequila break. Don't forget, you can find James at jamesguzman.com or borderlessblog.com or borderlesshealthinsurance.com. We'll be right back on TNT Radio.
Jesse Zurawell on TNT Radio.
It seems like the armed forces of Ukraine know their time is up. They're retreating and they're pursuing a scorched earth policy in their retreat, which translates, as I said, to this indiscriminate shelling, which is killing women and children. We saw these reports yesterday. What's your assessment of what's going on here?
I'm a little bit at a loss of how to explain this. It seems to me that this is indiscriminate. It's not even indiscriminate shelling. I think they're deliberately shelling civilian areas of Donetsk. And it seems to me like it's nothing more than an act of vengeance, because they are losing the war. They have pretty much lost the war. And now all they have left is to inflict as much harm as they can on the civilian population of Donetsk.
Jesse Zurawell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches, and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere, it isn't everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know, as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swimming in racism.
The social justice warriors say, if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. It was at the darkest point in my life.
Because I was white, would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture, or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
Morning, mama. How you feeling?
Great. And I'm ready for you today.
I'm checking in on you. Morning meditation.
Check.
Dressed and ready to work out.
Check.
Check your blood pressure yet?
And check.
Boom. Great job, mom. And about those gold earrings.
No, ma'am.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Monitor your blood pressure daily and help each other stay motivated. Rally your squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
When the coronavirus strikes the world's most vulnerable people, they have no soap, masks, food, or medical care. Children International is helping children and families in need survive the crisis. Learn more at children.org/help.
The new communism is COVIDism. The voice of freedom is TNT Radio.
And we are back on the Hervoy Moritz Show talking to James Guzman of jamesguzman.com, borderlessblog.com, borderlesshealthinsurance.com. I heard Alex Craner's voice during the break on Jesse Zurowell's show. He's a fellow Croat, fellow Spanish-speaking Croat. There's a tiny chance I might make it over to Europe this summer and maybe even hang out on the Adriatic with Alex sipping on some Turkish coffee or Croatian rakia. That would be fun. I just wanted to read one more section of Felipe Quintas's quote that we were looking at before the break. He said, "The representatives of this new postmodern progressive trend do not need and should not be popular, as they're not chosen to lead charismatic governments, but to operationalize the commands of the North Atlantic financier technocracy, and can be quietly replaced whenever it wants." So that goes for Boric, Trudeau, Biden, Schultz, Zelensky, Macron, who am I forgetting? This Gustavo Petro guy. Anyways, what else is happening in James's world?
Yeah, well, I mean, to add on to that, I don't know, you know, because they're also calling what's going on in South America in general a pink wave. They have different names for it, but, you know, supposedly there's this left-wing wave throughout Latin America. In Argentina, they have Alberto Fernandez, Bolivia, I'd say Peru, Pedro Castillo. In Chile, you know, they overthrew the constitution and they have Boric, like you mentioned. Also, a lot of people are speculating that Lula da Silva is going to get elected in Brazil. We'll see about that. Obviously, that's speculation. And some people are also lumping AMLO into that in Mexico. So I'm not really sure how all of those people fit into you know, what we're talking about as far as, you know, they go along with the other globalist agenda. But, you know, a lot of people are putting them kind of in the same bucket, you know. So I don't know how you see that.
Well, I think as Professor Felipe Quintas was making the point that you used to have this traditional leftism and mm-hmm. this leftism that we have today, like we're seeing now, as you're talking about in some of these countries, it's effectively globalism. It's liberal globalism is the ideology. And, you know, I think globalism is an infusion or amalgamation. You know, I think it just represents total global domination, and it will use its technocracy. It will use fascism. It will use communism, monopoly capitalism, but effectively, a lot of these governments, I mean, you made the point earlier, like this, let's say this Colombian government, you know, or Boric in Chile, what is he doing? Taking away guns, promoting the green agenda, mm-hmm. locking everyone down, you know, full COVID-1984. And so it's pretty, I mean, globalist. And so they go with the main talking points today of international relations and political science. And speaking of speaking of technocracy,
no, I remember, and it's kind of the wrapper of what you could call Marxism or leftism. You know, I remember when I was in Medellin and they had the last election where Petro was not elected, and they elected in Duque, and you know, I asked people what they thought of it. The people around me, at least, I mean, even young women and stuff like that. I mean, just pretty much a lot of the people that I spoke to were. Well, I said, you know, why did they were for Duque, and they were very happy when Duque won, and I said, why? And they said it was because, you know, they wanted entrepreneurship. They wanted to have their own businesses. They wanted to you know, that kind of dream, you know, to have businesses and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, that seems like the general kind of, whatever is happening at the top. I mean, at the bottom, I think a lot of people have that type of energy, and I want to, you know, encourage that. I thought that was great. Just, you know, the idea that people want to have their own thing and be independent and be financially successful and stuff like that. And, you know, Columbia has a lot of that, you know, entrepreneurial kind of forever. A lot of the people are into that. And so I think that's great. And I think just in general, no matter who's in charge, when you have that kind of ideology of just, you know, statism and, you know, letting the government take care of everything and all that, it's just in general is not good, no matter who's in charge. It kind of from the bottom up just creates a mentality of poverty. So hopefully, you know, we don't see all that, you know, that type of mentality just spread throughout Latin America to even more than it has.
Yeah, but I think both left and right have been co-opted. Now it's like a different ball game, and Duque of Colombia was pretty much of the, what, you know, Washington Empire. And mm-hmm. I have a feeling that this Felipe Quintas's assessment is also correct, that this new leftist guy will also like is probably part of that empire as well. But maybe they're switching now from the traditional right control to the left because they see that tendency. And so, again, what they do is hijack, co-opt systems and movements. So, again, this is one scenario. I don't know. I guess time will tell, but speaking of,
you know, I have this guy that I know, Keith Preston. He's
I've had him on TNT.
I think you've had him on. Yeah. You know, his theory is that what we're seeing is a basically a battle for control between the old elites, which were from old industries of, you know, different types of manufacturing, agriculture, oil and things like that, into the new elites, which are more into, you know, tech, green energies, other types of things. Then, and it's basically a right now we're seeing the new elites take over for the old elites, and we're seeing a kind of a battle for control globally. So I think that's kind of interesting to think about as well.
Yeah, he does some great analysis. I'll have to have him back on, and just I'm continuing to observe. As I said, from right outside my door and beyond, the Great Reset advancing, the technocracy, most people are completely oblivious to this, and I cannot not see it. Once you understand the name of the game, you can't you cannot not see it. I see it everywhere. And so here in Guadalajara now, there's a story about how they're putting around the city these trash bins, you know, for recycling, you know, metal, plastics, glass, blah, blah, blah. And they're raising, putting out cameras as well. Actually, the government, and this is part of the Rockefeller funded resilient city, you know, smart city technocracy initiative, surveillance. Here they call it, what was it called? C5. It's like a project to basically create a surveillance city, put all these cameras everywhere, run the internet everywhere. And so now people who incorrectly throw out their trash, they're caught on camera, identified, and for now they're not fined, but they're forced to do community service. And this is really like next level dystopia. I mean, on the one hand, yeah, trash not being, you know, just thrown out on the street or whatever, of course that's bad. But I mean, you can see down the line, once this system is set up, how they will use it, you know, later on when you've got facial recognition and cameras. And it's like, it's the social credit system. Like in China, if you jaywalk in China, you're immediately fined. And I guess they take it out of your bank account, you know, right away. Or you lose points in the social credit system, and then you lose privileges. And I see this as it's the beginning. Again, you can see if you're paying attention to this, wherever you are, you know, this is in Mexico, you know, whatever country you live in, Australia, Canada, some are more advanced, others less, but these are baby steps towards that social credit system.
Yeah, I'm for sure. I mean, I don't know if it's, I don't think I'm quite as pessimistic as you in that, you know, I think that, yeah, they definitely try that. And it sounds logical that they would, but I just don't think that they'll be able to, especially here in Mexico, or not within the next 50 years, at least, you know what I mean? So, but anyway, so, but how are they, you said that they're doing that there in Guadalajara. How are they implementing that?
Well, they got cameras. So they, that are cameras on these garbage collection spots. And so if you throw like garbage that's not, you know, if you just throw it there or it's not correctly placed, the cameras will catch you and I guess identify you. So,
and they're going to come to your house or something? Yeah.
Well, they said they already caught 14 people and they will be issued, I guess, they like some administrative fine where you don't have to pay, but you will be ordered to do community service cleaning. You know, it's like punishment,
right?
Sweeping the city streets. I don't know for how long, but yeah,
I don't know. That sounds like, that doesn't sound very, I mean, I understand the idea. It doesn't sound very plausible in Mexico. They can get people, like, you know, they can't get people to do anything, and they better put some kind of cages over those cameras or they're going to get smashed.
Yeah. Yeah. Did we talk about the World Cup last time coming to Mexico?
No.
Yeah,
World, so I don't know. It doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard about that. I think I mentioned it. I don't know if I spoke about it on TNT or not, but yeah, you heard about how in 2026 the World Cup will be taking place in North America, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And is it they will be the matches will be taking place in Canada, U.S., and Mexico, and that'll be Mexico City. Well, the three biggest cities in Mexico: Mexico City, Guadalajara here, and Monterrey. My view is, you know, why this is being done to be spread, not, you know, not traditionally having it in one country, but in three. You know, last time it was Russia, and then before that it was, I forget what, where was it in 2014? Do you remember? Germany, was it? Or the World Cup?
No, I have no idea. I can't remember.
Uh-huh. But anyways, the point here is North American Union. I cannot not think that. And I've read their texts. I've read the white papers going back 20 years, North American Integration, North American Union. Robert Pastor, I've got his book, North American Community. I did the last interview with him in December 2013. He passed in January of 2014 of cancer. I've seen him in the flesh giving lectures at my former place of employment. And he would come and say, you know, raise your hand, who's Mexican? Oh, okay, raise your hand, who's Canadian? Because we have international students. Raise your hand, who's U.S. citizen? It's like, you're none of that. You're North American. Like, they're promoting that idea so you don't think of yourself as a Mexican, as an American, as a Canadian, that you, like, you're a North American, just like they do today for the European Union citizens. Oh, you're not Croatian. You're a European Union citizen. And I feel, and in their white papers, they talk about the obstacles, because, you know, you have economic North American integration, which is basically NAFTA today, USMCA. And then they talk about political integration, but they also talk about social and cultural integration in the formation of the North American Union. And I feel, what better way than to use sport and football to help along, you know, this process, and to have these matches in Canada and U.S. and Mexico, and everyone will be, you know, Mexicans will be traveling to Canada and U.S. and vice versa. And we'll culturally, you know, take a stab a little bit at nationalism and promote globalism, supranationalism. I don't know if you think I'm crazy and seeing something that's not there. And any other thoughts?
I mean, obviously, I was going to send you, there's the a podcaster that I follow. He's a libertarian podcaster, Mexican-American guy. I don't really want to put his name out there, but he posted about the exact same thing you're talking about. But he said, oh, this is great. I've always known that football, or, you know, soccer, as Americans would say, can bring people together. And, you know, now we're bringing harmony between Canada and the United States and Mexico, and soon we'll be, you know, one union. He literally said that and how great it was. And so, yeah, I was going to send that to you, but I forgot to. But yeah, I mean, for sure, there are people that that think that would be a good outcome, you know.
Are you going to go to a match if it's in Mexico here in 2026?
Where is it going to be? Mexico City, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, Monterrey, Mexico City, Guadalajara.
I don't know. Nah, probably not. I don't know.
Too much crazy. Too crazy. You'll probably need a vaccine certificate. So if we survive the mass depopulation event by 2026, you know, we'll think about going. Let's take our second tequila break. The website, James's website, is jamesguzman.com, borderlessblog.com, borderlesshealthinsurance.com. We'll be right back on TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
On the 21st of June, staff writer for the Daily Wire, Amanda Prestigiacomo, penned an article titled New Polling CNN Analysis Spells Disaster for Democrats in Midterm Elections. She referred to former House Speaker Newt Gingrich's prediction last month that the Democrats could lose up to 70 seats in the House, along with another four in the Senate, swinging control of both chambers of Congress to the Republicans. This would be the largest seat switch since 1948. Such a prediction now seems likely with rising inflation. Years of quantitative easing, aka money printing, including record reckless spending purportedly to address COVID, will have severe electoral consequences. While Republican representatives have contributed to the inflation problem since the 2008 financial crisis, the Biden administration has totally blown it, and American voters will justifiably punish the Democrats. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
For sale, one deep fat fryer, one industrial fridge freezer, one set of knives, cleaver missing, several hundred plastic forks, one dishwasher, mid-30s, has own teeth, all is new, one careless owner.
Poor hygiene is bad for your business. Fortunately, the Food Standards Agency has a range of tools that can help you manage food hygiene and keep your customers. Visit food.gov.uk/goodbusiness.
During the pandemic, 129 billion unrecyclable masks were used and thrown away every month. Over 3 billion masks now pollute the oceans. Let's not turn a blind eye to this disgusting plastic pollution. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And we are back on the Hervoy Moritz Show, talking to James Santiago. James Guzman, jamesguzman.com, borderlessblog.com, borderlesshealthinsurance.com. With every guest, I've got to like remember all of these websites. Amlo's been in the news again. This was an interesting Forbes Mexico and the article was from yesterday talking about how Amlo is being accused. Of course, of the nexus. Between AMLO, the Mexican government, and the narcos. And AMLO, quick simultaneous translation from Spanish to English. Let's see. AMLO says that he's blaming foreign interests, you know, probably the American Empire or whatever. He says, from abroad, a campaign can be orchestrated to link organized crime, to me or whatever. So he's denying this. But I mean, realistically, let's be realistic here. As much as anyone might like AMLO, come on, Andres Manuel, who are you kidding, right? I mean, I don't think there exists a Mexican government that is not linked or have some link or connection to the narcos. You know, what are your thoughts, James?
Yeah. I guess it's just, you know, degrees. That's another thing. I guess it's hard for people to understand, especially at this point. What does linked mean? I mean, so, you know, because like, you know, he took a picture with Guzman Chapo's what was it, mother or something, and then, oh, look, you know, he's linked, or, you know, I mean, it's, or, you know, maybe one of your, the people in your cabinet does some deal with somebody who's linked to one of the cartels. It's just, it's so embedded in a lot of different parts of the economy that, I mean, to be, to act like you're completely clean is, I mean, obviously you're going to do that. So, you know, he's not going to say, oh yeah, you know, I got a bunch of, you know, I'm hooked in with this guy and that guy. But yeah, I mean, it's just to different degrees, I suppose.
Yeah, he does make a point saying there's no proof, he says, but there's no proof, and he's got a point. So, yeah, but I mean, well, but even then,
we didn't talk about Morena has really swept at least the south of Mexico a few weeks ago. So, it seems to be growing stronger.
What happened with Morena, that they took a lot of positions? Yeah.
Yeah, I think, many states, especially in the south of Mexico, Morena won. So he's not going to be running for the next presidency. But I mean, I think that I don't know who else is going to be kind of the spokesman for that party. And they are gaining power throughout Mexico. So I'm not really sure what to think about that, but that's what's going on.
I would just add on that rabbit hole of the narco Mexican government nexus. I mean, it's like, okay, America, you want to go down that rabbit hole? I mean, if they did find a connection between the narcos, the cartels, and the Mexican government, if you dug deep enough, I'm sure you'd find a connection between the American intelligence agencies and the narcos. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so I guess, you know, two could play at that game. It takes two to tango. We got many, you know, Gary Webb, who was taken out, Ricky Ross talking about how the CIA was trafficking cocaine into LA. The late Michael Rupert testified to that, and so on. You know, another thing, again, I'm just looking at some stories following the Great Reset trend where I live, and I haven't had time to really dig into this, but this is from Mexico News Daily, which we read. And on one hand, it's a good thing in theory, but on the other hand, again, this is how this Great Reset thing works, you know, convenience, but then it's also convenient for the powers that be to unplug you from the system. So we've got, in some ways, a crappy infrastructure here in Mexico, although things work generally, you know, water and electricity and internet, and generally I can't complain, but I know there are parts of Mexico that can complain. And so now they're talking about bringing drinkable tap water to homes in Mexico. But they've got these two private, I think, companies. One is called KWR Foundation and the other is MGB Victoria. But what happens, though, is the governments, the municipalities in Mexico, the states, municipalities don't have money. But these guys do, that are coming from Europe, these corporations or whatever. And what would have to happen is these municipalities would have to cede their utility distribution rights, you know, cede some power and control to a trust. And this trust would be formed by, you know, MGB Victoria, KWR Foundation, and the municipality itself. So it's like you're giving up now some of your local power over your own resources, sharing it with these foreign entities. And then they would come in, and it sounds interesting. They would eliminate the need for overhead telephone wires and electricity wires. And they've got this like flexible tube they'd put in the ground. And in this tube, like it would hold the other different tubes. Like you'd have the water running alongside the electricity and telephone wire and an internet. So I guess that would be cool. But if you think about it, they're centralizing control over all of this energy. And my point is I need to find some time to see who owns, you know, does BlackRock or Vanguard or, you know, have any stake in some of these companies? And, you know, imagine in the future, oh, you don't behave, with one switch, they turn off everything, electricity, water, internet, and so on. So, yeah, there's good and bad in everything, but I'm always afraid of the control they could have over us. Any thoughts, Mr. Guzman?
I don't have any thoughts on that story. I don't know anything about it. I think that on that kind of stuff, I understand where you're coming from. And you know, right now you see that the Great Reset agenda as the biggest threat. I think sometimes people are in you know, really bad situations, they're really corrupt governments or whatever. And so you kind of have to take a pragmatic approach and see what might be better or worse in that instance. And so, like I said, I don't know enough about what exactly is going on there, but it's hard to say. It might be better. Probably you're right. It doesn't sound very good just to cede over all the authority to one group to distribute the water. Although if people don't have water, I mean, that's pretty bad. So, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. What else is, we've got a couple of minutes left. What else is happening in San Miguel or other parts of the Americas, even in the U.S., if you've got any thoughts there?
Well, what I was going to add into what we were talking about, basically with the influence of narcos in Mexico, the United States last week, they had the Congressional Research Center, the Congressional Research Service, it's called, put out a white paper, Mexico Organized Crime and Drug Trafficking Organizations, that went out to the entire Congress. And it really goes into detail about all the specifics of cartels in the United States, drug trafficking, the different drugs, what's going on, smuggling. And so I don't know, for whatever it's worth, you know, they are spending resources and looking into what's going on in Mexico. And so to me, that kind of makes me think that perhaps they're thinking about maybe doing something. They're, you know, for some reason they felt the need to get some people on the case here and send this out to all of Congress. So I wouldn't be surprised if this might be, you know, there's always new emergencies, new things that the media comes out with. And, you know, there could be some event with, maybe violence or something that's related to cartels or something either in the United States near the border that all of a sudden we have to concentrate on, supposedly, and that, you know, Congress is called in to act. So, so the big, long report that did go out to Congress. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, that could very well be. They're keeping us on our toes. I've got no idea there. the migration, I haven't really heard too much new on the migration front. We've
still
talked
going
about.
On. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just going to, we'll see.
Yeah, and another important point, AMLO also talked about, again, Forbes Mexico. Before this, the fear of this recession in the EU, Mexico is betting on self-sufficiency in terms of energy and food production. He goes on to say, you know, the war in Ukraine has affected the energy sector. But we, you know, in Mexico, we've had this idea for a long time, for years, he says. And I mean, left or right, what he's saying is true, to be more self-sustainable in energy and food. And he said something that's distinguished us from the neoliberals, to produce our own food. The neoliberals say that it doesn't, it's not important. You know, if you buy it from abroad, if it's a, you know, cheaper price. But look where we are now with the problems that are going on. And so, you know, he goes on to talk about inflation, but basically saying, yeah, they're trying to invest money and refineries. So Mexico, because Mexico ships most of its oil to Texas to be refined in the U.S. and then brought back. So logically, you would want to have, why would you do that if you can, you know, because they didn't have the money to build the refineries in Mexico. So I guess that's one thing that they want to do, which would be good. And I think any country should try to work towards this goal piece by piece, you know, food, energy, and otherwise. So that's one positive direction in which Mexico is headed. Any other thoughts? Got a minute and a half left or so.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I find that Mexico is very self-sustainable and that way, you know, what's especially where I am, maybe it's different throughout different parts of Mexico. You know, what I think is interesting that you realize more and more as you live outside of the United States is like, when I see people posting what they're about to cook or something like that in the United States, and you forget how it is there, that like literally everything you buy has a sticker or is out of a bag or is out of a can, or it's like, you know, it's from a giant company. Like here, almost everything that I buy is, you know, locally made. And that's just really hard to find unless you're buying stuff at a farmer's market, and then it's more expensive, and you really can't find everything you need to in the United States. So it's really hard. But at least here, I found that that's pretty much, you know, most of what people use.
Yeah, I try to buy just fresh local stuff too. Stay away from GMO. And we're out of time. It's jamesguzman.com, borderlessblog.com, borderlesshealthinsurance.com. We'll catch up with you next week, James, and stick around. For the news break, we'll be right back on TNT Radio.